The State Nuclear Energy Corporation is without a board yet again. The remaining four members of the board resigned today, citing a dysfunctional relationship with Energy Minister Gwede Mantashe. Back in 2018, then Energy Minister Jeff Radebe fired the entire Nexa board. The High Court later found the axing to have been unlawful. So what's going on at Nexa, and why the strained relationship between the board and the minister? Calvin Kem, who served as Nexa chair under the tenure of Jeff Radebe, joins us on the line now with an insider's perspective. Thanks so much, Calvin, for joining us on the line this evening. So like I say, we've had the Nexa board resign in its entirety today as a result of sheer frustration. From your past experience as a member of the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa board, are these frustrations easy to understand?
I think so, because what happened when I was chairman and Phumzile Chalani was chief executive, we were one of the very few SOEs that was running at a profit and paying tax into SARS. We were proud of that. And we were exporting over R1 billion annually in nuclear medicine around the world. We won world awards for this, and it was something to be proud of. And then, unfortunately, Minister Jeff Radebe was appointed, who came in with a completely different attitude and started to try and give instructions on how the CEO and myself should actually run the operation. And that just did not work out.
When it comes to those instructions that were given, I mean, what kind of shift did it trigger to start this unraveling?
Well, it was reported in the press at the time that Jeff Radebe wanted to take the most profitable division of Nexa and sell a substantial proportion of it to the United States. In fact, he told that to me to my face with Mr. Chalani sitting next to me, and we were horrified at that. We said, no, we disagree entirely. It's making money and it's profitable. And so we had a disagreement, and he promptly then said to the media that I was defiant. And he then suspended Phumzile Chalani and axed the entire board instantaneously. It later materialized that he'd been appointing a new board 4.5 months prior to laying any accusations against us, and the accusations were really foolish. And as was pointed out a moment ago, we then took him to court, and on the 17th of August of 2019, the court found in our favor and ruled that Jeff Radebe's actions were unlawful and they were set aside.
So from that experience, Calvin, safe to say that under the new administration, there's always been a contrived relationship between Nexa and the Department of Energy.
I would say that's very valid, but bear in mind that the board that was appointed in our place was appointed by Jeff Radebe, and I would venture to say, so that it would be compliant with what the former minister wanted. We disagreed with the approach because we were expanding business, we were making money, we were expanding our footprint around the world. The new board came in and announced that they planned to cut back on the business and to be a research institute. And one of the first things they did was to announce the intention to retrench 400 staff out of the 2,000 staff that were working at Nexa. Under Phumzile Chalani, nobody was ever retrenched. And we were proud of that record, and we were busy expanding the business. So I believe that we were way ahead of other SOEs. We were involved with private enterprise. We were involved in money-making, which was the objective that we had set ourselves, and the board was very enthusiastically behind us. We had the enthusiasm of the staff who saw something to work towards.
Calvin, for those who aren't, attuned to Nexa and what it stands for, why does Nexa matter to South Africa? It's very existence.
Well, South Africa is one of the oldest nuclear countries in the world. As far as I'm aware, we're the third oldest in the world. So nuclear has been around in South Africa for a long time. On the nuclear power front, we have Coburg Nuclear Power Station, which is the only nuclear power station in Africa and is recognized as one of the best power stations in the world in the nuclear business. And Coburg, by the way, produces now South Africa's cheapest electricity by far. So nuclear is a really good thing to do for electricity production. And I believe that Minister Mantashe now has seen that. As far as I'm concerned, he's been making wise moves since he's been in office, and I'm pleased to see what's going on in the energy sector.
Of course, Calvin, you are an advocate for nuclear power, but putting aside, nuclear's contribution and what can be further made to South Africa's electricity power grid, what is the importance of the nuclear industry in South Africa beyond that?
Oh, well, there's a large number. People would be surprised to find to what extent the nexus involved in day-to-day commerce. On the nuclear side, for example, is nuclear medicine. Every 3 seconds, somebody somewhere in the world is injected with nuclear medicine exported from South Africa, and every 3 hours, somebody's life is saved. South Africa exports to over 60 countries internationally on a daily basis. More than one export per day goes out of the country. It's something that is quite astounding how good South Africa has become at this. But also nuclear is used in agriculture, traces for soils and agricultural things. There's even nuclear applications being looked into now for rhino poaching. There's nuclear in mining. All honey, for example, that's imported into South Africa by law has to be irradiated with nuclear radiation to ensure that we don't bring in any bacteria in the honey accidentally. The irradiation allows us to export things like avocados and pawpaws and certain other fruits. Medical equipment, syringes and so on, are all now sterilized with nuclear radiation. Then also there's a chemical spin-off. Because of the very advanced chemicals knowledge that's been involved in nuclear, you'll find that Nexa, yeah, for example, processes 30,000 motor car petrol tanks per month. And Nexa produces fluoridizes containers that are used for selling pesticides and a number of other chemicals like that as well.
Okay, there's so Nexa, the custodian of the country's nuclear programs on a broad basis. Going back to power and what you were talking about, I mean, what has this latest development, do you think, spelt for developments we could be seeing in the nuclear power space?
Well, the nuclear power stations, the plan was to build a big nuclear power station, and in 2008, we were due to go ahead and start. Had we started that nuclear power station in 2008, it would be operational now. It's about a 6 or 7 year build. That would have been 3,000 megawatts of continuous 24 hours a day power. And sadly, renewable energy, solar, is only available in the daytime and wind only when the wind blows. That's the huge disadvantage of the renewable power. Yeah. We've so far spent as much money on the renewables as the first nuclear reactor would have cost, about $250 billion. So the former minister, Jeff Khadebe, was very into the solar and the wind. That's something else that we disagreed with, his lack of interest in nuclear. And so the big nuclear are these large ones that have to be built on the coastline because, yes, they need water for cooling. South Africa developed what's known as the pebble bed modular reactor. Those are reactors only 5 to 10% the size, and they were designed to not need water cooling so that you could put them inland in a place like Carletonville, for example, to supply directly into the mines. Those are potential for exporting all over the world. We were world leaders at the time with the biggest design team in the world in that field. And then that was very sadly stopped.
Exactly. Now, so it'll be interesting to see what this all spells for developments on that front. Unfortunately, Calvin, we've run out of time, so we're going to have to leave it there for now. But that the former chair of the Nexa board, Calvin Kim.